Blog Talk Radio.
Well, I guess we're on the air and there's no music. So, hello, everybody, and welcome to the review show. I don't know what happened to the music, but hey. And with me today is Vicki Love. And before we get into reviewing the movies, she wants to talk about really the saddest, well, to me, the saddest death of this week. So, go ahead, Vicki.
Right. Hi, everyone. And you know that when I do my own show, I'm always doing science and science fiction. And so one of the saddest things that happened this week was the demise, I hate to say death, but the demise of our little Opportunity robot on Mars. NASA said that that's it. It died, and I hate to say died, but Opportunity, what was its last words? It's getting dark. I'm losing power, and it's getting dark.
My battery's getting dark.
I know. Oh, my God. It's so sad. But, okay, first, that little robot was the little engine that could. All right? It's just this tiny little robot, as far as robots are concerned. And it was launched in 2003, and it's very important to my life and my family because my youngest son and I, he turned 11 the day after it was launched, and that was also one of those times when Mars was closest to the Earth, so you could go outside with your telescope, which we did because we had a nice little telescope, and we spent hours outside looking at Mars, and that's when his fire for Mars just really was kindled because my son wishes he could go to Mars. And so anyway, so in 2004, Opportunity, like most of you know, landed and landed perfectly, had a perfect landing, landed in a crater, was protected. Every good thing that could happen for Opportunity happened. And instead of a six-month run, Opportunity had 15 years. And they sent little Opportunity on something like a 1,000-kilometer trip from its original crater to another crater, which was called Endeavor, I think, and then the next crater, which was very far away, called Victoria. That's where Opportunity rests right now. And it's just a remarkable story, human ingenuity, our great robots from the first, 20 years ago almost? Because they were building Opportunity 20 years ago. So I don't know. I think we should give a moment of thought and a thank you to the little robot that could. Oh, you know that movie, what was it called, with Johnny Five in it, the robot? Opportunity.
Oh, Short Circuit,
like,
yeah.
Yeah, Short Circuit. Opportunity actually looks like Johnny Five. And I've always thought that was one of the coolest things about that little robot, is that it looks like a science fiction. So there you go, science fiction turning into science fact.
You've seen First Man, haven't you, Vicki, the one about the first?
Oh, yeah. I even bought it. I like it that much.
Yeah. Well, if you remember, most reviews of the movie when it came out was always had this line. Who really cares about NASA and going to the moon and going into space in nowadays America?
Right. Right. Because I work in I work in education, and when I get enthusiastic about it, I'm the only one. One of the science teachers I work with used to work for JPL, and he keeps telling me that I should go work for them because I love them so much. I should write for them, and he's probably right. But really, other than him, when I talk about space and the things that are happening with our little robots, nobody's enthusiastic about it. That's sad.
Well, even the right stuff in 1981 pretty much flopped at the box office.
Right. Right. I just watched that last night. I don't know why science and exploration of the solar system is uninteresting to people. People would rather watch each other suffer. And I mean, I'm just going to say people, okay? But I see this happening every day. People like to watch videos of other people beating each other up rather than thinking about doing something extraordinary like moving into space and bolstering the economy, mining asteroids. They think it's fiction, but it's science real. It's going to happen, and the people that lack that imagination are going to be left behind. They're going to be the poorest of the poor left on Earth.
Yeah. And now getting to the reviews, the first one that Vicky has this week is one on Netflix that's pretty much gotten iffy reviews all around. Let's see what Vicky thinks of Mads Mikkelsen in Polar.
Okay, before I watched this film, I am a Hannibal Lecter TV series lover. I love that series. It is gruesome, but the audience that I think is listening now likes gruesome. So, I love Mads. I've loved him for his entire career. And one of my favorite movies of all of his is Valhalla Rising. And so when I saw the trailer to Polar, I thought, you know, this reminds me of Valhalla Rising. Not a lot of chatty, a lot of action, a lot of beautiful scenery, and an interesting story. But it depends on what you call interesting. I would like to read of a review from Variety magazine about this movie, and then I'm going to fill in the blanks after. Okay, this young woman who wrote this review said it would be one thing if Polar were director Jonas Åkerlund's satirical send up of American hyper stylized, hyper violent, exploitative genre pictures, but it's not, or at least it arrives a decade too late to register as such. What's clear is that this abhorrent actioner, an adaptation of Victor Santos's graphic novel Polar Came from the Cold, about a morally conflicted hitman, which Mads acts perfectly, with a price on his head, is vulgar auteurism at its most depraved. It even has the audacity to cloak many of its repugnant sentiments and debauchery in the guise of female empowerment. Very true. Gratuitous sex, gruesome torture, copious amounts of gore, and garish imagery populate the picture. Those qualities might be reason enough for some to watch, although a great many others will do well to scroll past this in their Netflix feeds. Now, I agree with everything that paragraph just said, because this movie is two separate films mashed together. And it's something that's been happening a lot with Netflix, and I think it's got to do with two separate ideas. One is money, financial concerns, and then the other is trying to make Netflix more global and international, because Netflix is all around the world. So what this movie does is it's German first, then American. And it takes place in international spots. You can tell which are sets and which are not. But it never takes place really in America, because the people who are supposed to be American, they, like the people, I think it's in a Denver store, I'm not sure, their voices are dubbed. And this is a movie in America that Mad speaks English, and a couple of the other characters speak English, and they're American actors that interact with him. But the German actors, all their voices are dubbed. And this is sometimes this dubbing thing is so badly done that the voices are so distracting from the story that you just, you, I get up and walk away. I can't stand it. There's a store owner, and she has this Western accent, kind of mishmash of Southern and cowboyish accent. And every time she spoke, I just wanted to throw something at my TV, which would be a terrible thing, right? If I broke my TV.
Yeah.
So that was so distracting and so annoying that it took away from the story. But here's the thing. The story is a good story in and of itself, but it's two different stories. There's one story told about the young, very young cast of the hitmen, the young hitmen, going after men and women, going after the old man, Mads. Every scene that Mads is in is stellar, top. His acting is perfect. It's like he doesn't even know the other part of the film is being filmed, because he gives his acting all. And so the people that interact with him, the other actors, their performances are raised up. But the young hitman squad, their acting is horrible, and their dubbing is horrible. And the debauchery comes in that part of the film. So what the filmmakers need to learn is that when you're trying to splice all this international together to have a bigger audience, you need to be really careful about how you do that. So the editors and the voice choosers, whatever those people are called, they need to be more careful. This could have been a better film. And so the Mad part is definitely 4 stars. The other part is 2 stars. So take it for what it is. There's lots of gore, lots of torture, lots of really, you know, gruesome action. So if you like that, this movie's for you. But I warn you, I'm not saying watch it. Only if you're a Mads lover, watch it, because you can ignore the bad parts. So that's
And if
that's
you want
review.
A good action movie that has all of that Vicky's talking about, watch freaking Overlord. That one is fun, and one of the nicer things about it, Vicky, is that they're in France, so they have a scene where they talk to each other in France. Well, the American black guy who's from New Orleans has a Creole French accent.
Well, that would
make
sense, though.
And the Nazi who speaks French has a French accent that's German, you know, with German mixed into it.
That
and they use subtitles on that. They would, like, read.
Well, there's a new on Netflix also. There, Will Smith hosts this documentary about the Earth called This Fantastic Rock or something like that. And it is international. And what's really cool is when the scientists, biologists and everything from around the world, they don't dub them. They speak in their language, their whatever they have to say, their scientific stuff about whatever the subject is, and then there's subtitles. And then Will Smith comes on and he speaks in English, and then they move to another part of the world where they speak in their language with subtitles, and it's fantastic. Fantastic. I don't know
that's
why.
That's how you do it right. You know, there's two ways
yeah.
to do it. You can do it or you can do it right. And another great one on there, if you're just looking for violent action, look up The Night. I read this last week. It's The Night Comes With Us. That's a kung fu movie, and it's one of the most brutal films I ever seen. But still,
well,
there's better films that do what Poehler did out there.
Right, right. Here's what I did while I watched Poehler. If I was just sitting down to watch a movie, I might have just turned it off. But I cooked during the whole thing because my kitchen and my great room or whatever you want to call it, my living space, they're connected. So I can cook while I watch television, and that's what I did. And especially during those scenes where they were in the store. Oh my God. I just turned my back and chopped vegetables and stuff because that woman, that was the worst. And there's also some really iffy stuff. The women in that movie are not empowered female characters. They just love to hurt people and kill. There's no rhyme or reason to it. And so there's one character that is so annoying. I didn't like her either. And I was happy she got what she got coming to her because it was just, I don't know. It's too weird move. Smashed. So if you watch
and for
it,
me,
it's
my first...
your own.
Okay.
Go ahead. Sorry.
No, you go ahead. Finish.
I just, if you watch it, I'm not recommending it. It's on you.
About 2.5 stars.
Yeah, about.
Yeah.
Those 2 stars belong to Mads.
Yeah. And the movie, the first one I watched, Vicki, what kind of movie would you think would come out of a movie titled The Man Who Killed Hitler and Then the Bigfoot?
Well, that would be like an action-adventure movie, wouldn't it? In
yeah.
maybe even a time travel movie?
No, it's a movie about regret. How this guy who's supposed to be like the Superman, he killed Hitler. An old man who has nothing but his regrets and his losses throughout life. Sam Elliott plays him. He's like a World War II Army vet who, as it comes out, killed Hitler at the first of World War II. And it's all about how everything sounds great, but it's really a film about regrets and going old. Because if you go in there expecting action film or anything like that, you're going to be freaking disappointed. But I love this movie. Just Sam Elliott just kills it as usual.
Oh, that's good.
And Larry, I forget his name, who plays his brother, is good too. This is a drama, not a horror film, not an action film, though it does have action bits, especially when he walks in to kill Hitler. And we meet him as in there's a Bigfoot up in Canada that's got this infectious disease on it. And if it gets spread to the human population, it'll cause a catastrophe.
Ew.
So they get him to kill Bigfoot, to go after the Bigfoot, because he is renowned as being a special hero in World War II. It's a very sad, sad film. If you go, like I said, if you go in expecting a big, you know, something that would fit that title, it is. It's really about this guy who killed Hitler and did the Bigfoot. But he, like I said, it's about, most of the film is focused on him thinking back to the romance and the love of his life when he was young. And the whole Bigfoot thing is like 5 to 10 minutes in the movie. So watch out about that. because if you're going there, like I said, if you're going there expecting a big action film and stuff, you're going to be very disappointed and pissed like most people who are reading the movie are. But I pretty much knew what I was getting into, and as that, it's great. And if Sam Elliott wins for A Star Is Born, he should thank the filmmakers of the man who killed Hitler, because this is the role he should have been nominated for an Oscar for.
Oh, wow. Well, that's enough to watch this film.
Yeah, but like I said, it's a very, very sad movie. So watch out.
Right. That sounds a lot like Polar, as far as the lead actor really does his job.
Yeah, except the man who killed Hitler is a character piece.
Yeah, and Polar is not. No, it is not.
Yeah. I would give it, if I was going to force a review, I would give it about 4 out of 5 stars. The only reason it doesn't go full 5 is because of how many people will be mad about what's not in it.
Well, don't you think that these days, and I mean these days, 2018, 2019, maybe 2015 through 2019, people expect too much action, too many explosions, too much, too many guns, too much of that? Because real life isn't anything close to all the action and explosion.
Yeah. And the second movie, a show that you wanted to review, Vicki?
There's a show that came out in the fall of 2018 on Netflix. It's called Maniac. And at first, the trailer kind of put me off because I couldn't really figure out what it was about. But it was a long weekend for me, so I decided to watch it, and I was so happy I did, because Emma Stone and Jonah Hill put in a couple of fine performances. And what this is about an experimental drug that this, and so this is kind of science fiction, science fantasy, that helps supposedly cure mental illness, most especially depression. And so there's a fine line in each episode of what is real and what isn't real. And I mean, from the very beginning of the show, and I think it's a limited series. I don't know if they can move past these 10 episodes, but there are 10 episodes, and the acting is really stellar, but the subject matter is interesting, and the way in which the story unfolds, it keeps you wondering what's going to happen, but am I watching their reality or am I watching their mental illness? And wait a second, this place where they are, is this real? Is this mental illness? Wait a minute, is the doctor real? Is he mentally ill? Wait a minute, who's watching them? And Jane Fonda pops up in this show also. It's something that if you really want to watch something that's interesting and crazy and done well, it's called Maniac on Netflix, and I give it a 4 out of 5.
How many
stars.
Episodes is it?
10.
10.
It
oh,
came
so
out
that's a standard season for Netflix.
Right, right. It's a standard season. So, but I don't know. I've not heard of anything. I haven't heard of anything, another season coming out. It also won a Writers Guild Award, American Writers Guild Award in 2018 and then it was also adapted from a foreign work. And I think there's a couple of seasons in that. Think it is. But I'm telling you, if you like quirky stuff, if you like Legion, if you watch Legion, you ought to watch Maniac. It's in the same kind of genre. And so it's not Marvel, it's not anything like that, but it's in the same kind of what's happening, is this real stuff?
That's the only thing that annoys me about Netflix is, two things. Is one, when they have a limited series, Amazon, if it's a limited series like the next one I'm going to review, it has on there limited series, one season only.
Right.
And the biggest bitch I have is they never released that they're doing another season of a show until maybe just a month before the show comes out.
Right. Right, exactly. Netflix is tear your hair out entertainment. They play our emotions like you play a broken piano. And so, I don't know if there's going to be another season of Maniac. I know that the 10 episodes are worth watching. Way more worth watching than Polar.
And my other one that I have this week is it's like the Doctor Who shows that they do over in England for Christmas. The BBC for the past 2 years have done Agatha Christie Christmas specials. The first one, and both of them got released over here at the same time. One is A Very Private Affair, which it's only 3 episodes. It stars Bill Nighy, but God, is it boring. And it's only 3 hours, but still, within 30 minutes, you're like, I don't give a crap about these people. There's nothing, there's no movement in the plot. The first 40 minutes of the first episode is everybody bitching about how the father's getting married maybe 1 year after the mother was murdered. Yeah, it's just boring. It doesn't even start. I mean, you got 3 episodes. Keep it going fast. It's just bad. And the other one is The ABC Murders with John Malkovich as Hercule Poirot. And that's good. They take advantage of every minute of the 3 hours of it. It changes a little bit. It changes a lot from the novel. But it's a very good little one. It even has the guy who played Ron in the Harry Potter movies. And you won't recognize him until maybe you get a good glimpse at him at the end, towards the end of the first episode. I was like, holy crap, that's him. He's actually good. He vanishes into the character. What the story is about Hercule Poirot as an older man. Old man. Well, that's how he is in the book. His first appearance, he's like 40 or 50. And he's getting these letters from the ABC killers who says that he is going to kill people by A, B, and C, you know, alphabetically. And it's up to, and he challenges Poirot to come after him. And it's a great little limited series, 3 episodes. Malkovich is great as Hercule Poirot. One of the better ones. Not as good as the top one, which probably would be Albert Finney, who died this week, rest in peace, in the 70s.
Right.
Murder on the Orient Express. Did you like that one, the Sidney Lumet version, Vicki?
Oh, yeah. I love that one. Yes. That's a story that has been done to death almost, right? And yet,
yeah, remember,
what's
his name? Kenneth Branagh did a version of it 2 years ago, which wasn't that bad.
Right. It's not. I enjoyed it to a certain, you know, degree. I always like Kenneth Branagh. As an actor, his series, I can't remember it. Can't remember the name of it. But anyway, the series, I think it's still on Netflix. I love him as an actor, but I really love him as a director. So I really like that movie, not for what went on in the story, but I loved his filmography, the way he used the camera in that film. I thought was fantastic.
That was another movie filmed in 70 millimeter that they didn't show anywhere in 70 millimeter.
Yeah, that's weird stuff.
But yeah, it's three episodes. It's like 3 episodes, 3 hours. It won't cost you that much of your watching time. And Malkovich is great. If they did another Hercule Poirot with him in it, I would watch it. But then in the 70s, my mom was a big fan, so I grew up with all of the Agatha Christie films back then. And then there were none, The Mirror Crack, the two Peter Ustinov films, I think, yeah. Death on the Nile and Evil Under the Sun.
Oh, yeah, all those. I like Death on the Nile. Something about it. I like that one.
Well, that
story,
was the first one that Ustinov did, and it was the biggest hit out of all of them.
Yeah, that's probably why.
But yeah, it's worth watching, and it's very good.
Well, that's ever since you said that, I'm going to sit down with my mom. When we finish the series we're on right now, we're going to watch those three, since you recommend it so highly.
Yeah. Oh, if you like the Agatha Christie stuff, you'll like the ABC Murders. It's on Amazon Prime. Okay. Well, tomorrow night is the 350th episode of KSDAD Radio. So who knows what kind of weirdness I have planned for it. You'll have to listen tomorrow night. And pretty much thank you, Vicki, for being on. You're welcome back anytime you have anything to review.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Stephen. I love to be on your show. And I'll be back sometime.
This is nobody's show. This is just a review show.
Right, well, you thought of it, and it's a great idea.
Okay. And good night, everybody, and I hope you enjoyed it. So long until next week.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.
Open the circuit to the wave motion gun. Open the circuit.
Blood receiver pressure increases. It's at full.
All the ship's energy is now in the wave motion gun.
I doubt anyone here would recognize civic virtue if it reached up and bit you in the ass.
Oh, did I hurt your feelings?
Only Magneto's right. There's a war coming.
Danger, Will Robinson.